Okay, so yesterday, Podcast Weekly, I kind of closed it with getting into educational material because we all need to have it's the Podcast Weekly. If you want to, if you're subscribing only to the Taiwan Special and you want to know what I'm talking about, the All Podcast has all of it. It includes The Point, it includes the Cadence. But if you're stick to the issues and I only want to hear about Taiwan. I want to remain in the dark and I don't want to know that other stuff because I'm too busy. I just want to know about Taiwan. Okay, all right, okay. The Taiwan Special is what you want. But I'm talking about other stuff too. There's always more. Yeah, I mean, that's... don't tell anyone in Reed Rapids that I said this, but, that's also kind of just good marketing. You know, the vibe that there's always something more out there. Yeah, but don't tell anybody I told you this. Okay, especially from Reed Rapids. Okay, so that right there is a media technique. Reagan would do that. Are the cameras off? What do you mean are the cameras off? You're the president. The cameras are always on you. But good. The cameras are. I've always wanted to do this. All right, where was I? Having trouble thinking here. Hold on. I'm going to drink some of this delicious nutmeg soy milk. Oh, yeah. Yeah, nutmeg soy milk. Yeah, I go get the fresh soy milk from the soy milk shop, which is different from the chicken leg shop, which is different from the chicken wing shop, which is different from the chicken thigh shop. But, it's not the cold soy milk shop. It's the hot soy milk shop. You got to go to the hot soy milk shop. And then I bring the hot soy milk home and I add nutmeg to it. And it tastes like a... Well, that's really delicious. It's like a soy... like a soy eggnog. A soy nog. It's a soy nog! I've invented a term. Soy nog. Throw nutmeg in some soy milk and there you got soy nog. Try it. Seriously, try it. It's Christmas. No, I'm going to make myself some eggnog when we get a little bit closer here to the seasons and the holidays. Yeah, you could have some soy nog. Nutmeg is the key. What is it? Eggs, milk, sugar, nutmeg? Is that what goes into eggnog? Is that how it? Well, eggnog was originally made for farmers that are out in the field because it was thick and cool. And when they drank it, it gave them protein. It gave them energy. It gave them a lot of stuff that they needed. And it also cooled them down because the viscosity was so high. Okay, now what were we talking about? Oh, yes. Helping people out of poverty with education. I called my roommate. My roommate from college. Well, I've had a number of them, but one of the roommates I remember most was my last roommate, African American. He was about 10 years older than I was, and brilliant man, character on campus. Absolutely love him. I say he's black because he was the head of the African fellowship thing. And we're talking African American and Africans. It's a school with international students. So they had people from Africa. So we'd have a student from Africa walking down the street. The Chicago police would think that he's African American and probably had drugs on him. This would happen, and it's an issue. So that was one of the things that they talked about in the African thing on campus. Well. The black, white, there are issues. And I don't want to get into race baiting and I think I have to explain this all over again. No. It's not for the people in Reed Rapids to hear it again. We can't get enough clarity on this. The past is the past. But just because you pulled the weeds in the garden yesterday doesn't mean you have, no weeds today. You've got new weeds growing up in the garden. You got to pull those out. Now, hopefully you don't use Roundup because that poisons the ground. It doesn't kill what's in the ground, but it leaves chemicals. But no, you've got Okay, you know what? I don't I can't fact claim that, but no, chemicals in the ground, I don't like that. You know, a lot of diseases and people being angry in America happens because of chemicals in the ground. It's one of the things Taiwan doesn't want our beef. China doesn't want our beef. I'll tell you what, it took this trade war to get China to there you go. That's the source of the trade war. Who caused all this trade war ruckus in the first place? It was the GMO food and the steroid beef farmers. Yeah. If you want a conspiracy theory, there, go chase after that one. No, I don't think so. It just would be fun for the... All right. Okay. Thanks for me clarifying that, George. I needed to get up. Okay. Where was I? That's right. Education. I was talking about how we can help poverty and improve society with education. So I was calling and talking to my roommate. I finally talked with him. I haven't talked to him for years. In the last 10 years, I think I talked with him once. He's a busy man. Very busy, changing the world, making it better. Well, you've got black-white issues, and the problems of yesterday are not the problems of today. Yes, the problems of yesterday are dealt with. Yes, yay, bravo. They are finished. They're done. Don't keep writing the same books, preaching the same sermons as if yesterday's problems are still today's problems. They're not. But we do have problems today. They're different problems. And yeah, there's progress. You know, this is a hot topic. I'll put it this way. Are the problems smaller? Well, we're dealing with them. But are they actually smaller? Think of it this way. It's like you've chased the cockroaches out of the room and back into the wall. So you can use the room. You know, that you got your floor space back. But they're all still there in the wall. The cockroaches being the problems that slavery caused. Look, that slavery thing 400 years ago, it's still a problem today. What we're looking at about, you know, well, when the country was founded, there was a constitution governing the slavery. It wasn't just a free-for-all like it was with Britain. So we formed the country. Now that at least there's some laws governing what you can and can't do in slavery. That was brilliant to say these places can't have it, you know, here and no farther. Okay. Well, eventually, the North got strong enough to gang up on the South, which eliminated slavery, which is what the people that wrote the Constitution wanted. They did. Like, the Southerners at the Constitutional Convention would not let the Northerners ban slavery, or there wouldn't be a country. So they all got to, the Northerners got together, how can we do this? Well, let's just set it up so that, you know, half the country isn't, but then that half will grow, and then eventually that half will gang up on the other half, and then you eliminate slavery that way. And then it took 100 years, but it happened. Another 100 years to have equal rights. Okay. We're still, you know, we're moving forward. Those problems are kind of gone, sort of. But other problems are still here. There's still a massive wealth disparity. Wasn't I looking at something recently? McDonald's owners. African-American, I don't want to say black. I'm talking African-American, not African. No, my roommate was African-American black. He wasn't African black. So African-American owners of McDonald's are rather low, and a lot of them are losing their franchises because they can't stay afloat. Now, what's going on here? See, McDonald's solution is just, well, you know, It's going bankrupt, you're not solvent, and it goes under. How about going in and finding what type of, you know, what's going on behind the thing that's going on, behind the thing that's going on that's making it so that African-American McDonald's franchise owners can't make it work? Let's go find out what's going on there. It's not just racism. It's not that white people don't like black people. It's not that simple. It's, you know, the cockroaches are out of the room. They're in the wall. We can't see them anymore. The problems are hiding. It's not that obvious. That's one thing my black roommate, he told me, as opposed to one of my many white roommates. I'm not going to say his name for his own privacy. It's why I'm calling him my roommate. But he said to me, Jesse, you're African-American, telling me, roommates. He said, Jesse, the beautiful thing about the racism in the South is that it's right there in your face. car salesman tells you, I just assume not sell a car to some black Negro. You know, like they'll tell you right to their face. But you get up in the North, oh, that's politically incorrect, but they still feel uneasy about it, right? Well, I called him on the phone and I said, I finally got a chance to speak with him. I said, well, no, how it worked was I said, can I call you for a minute? He goes, I'm with people right now. I said, how do you know the people aren't going to want to hear what I have to say? He, all right. Okay. So I called him and he picked up. It was a miracle. And cause he never picks up. He's so busy doing great, good things. I said, I have been, this is why this is the Taiwan special, by the way, you've listened this far. I said, I have been suffering under systemic poverty from Chiang Kai-shek, an evil man that absolutely messed up Taiwan and so many people, myself included. I have been suffering from systemic poverty for almost 11 years in Taiwan, and I wouldn't have known how to describe the problem or even identify it if it hadn't been for the black people in America saying, it's the system. It's the system that hurts people. It's not that there's racism from white people all the time. It's the system in the West that just keeps black people down and nobody sees it but the black people. And, you know, something similar is going on with the Native Americans, Indians. That's another thing. But one problem at a time here. So I explained it to him. I said, I have seen it. Before, I'd hear black people in America talk about it. But now I have seen it. I have lived it. I understand it. And I said, I want to figure out a way to express it to people to help others get it. But I just wanted you to know, Rumi, that I get it. And I've seen it. I understand. I won't understand what black people have been through. They're not going to know what I've been through as a white guy in Taiwan. You always have your unfair advantage. You always have your unfair disadvantage. You got to play it right. But the idea of systemic poverty, that's something I get. And I'm coming to the belief, what I'm seeing, you know, when you got a hammer in your hand, everything looks like a nail. So I'm not saying that this is going to solve all the problems, but this is just the way that I see to solve the problems that I see. There's a lot more that needs to be done that I don't see, or maybe I just don't have the tools for. But the hammer in my hand is education. And I don't mean formal institution stuff from that government nonsense. I mean helping people know stuff, helping people understand stuff. So I really believe that the more people understand about just life skills, computer stuff, English grammar, even Americans or people in another country, more people understand about maybe art or habits that keep us poor and habits that keep rich people rich. The more we just understand stuff, the more it's going to help with our condition. And I think that there's a lot to that. What am I doing to help with the systemic problem with African American, with the black white disparity in America? Well, I'm open to more stuff, but right now my plan is education. So I'm working through my curriculums and pushing them, as I mentioned yesterday, to get some educational stuff to a point where people could learn from it. Thanks for tolerating me being all over the map today. As you can hear, my nose is a little bit goofy, and I think I've talked about, I don't know, weather's changing here in Taiwan, and it's hard for me to think totally straight, but this was a rambly-bambly day. You can hear you tomorrow.